Do you ever want to be left alone? Are there times in your life where you want to be by yourself? Sometimes a person might want to be left alone after a hard day's work. They just want to come home and sit in their comfortable chair and relax. And they don't want to engage in a lot of social activity with others. Sometimes we want to be left alone when we're really busy. There are things that we have to get done and we don't have time to talk or converse. There might be times when we want to be left alone when we're not feeling well. Maybe we're sick and we want to be by ourselves. There may be times when we have gotten some bad news or some discouraging news and we just want to be by ourselves a little bit to take that in and think about that. And all of that's fine. There's times in our life when we want to be alone. But this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want us to talk about how the devil wants us to take this approach when it comes to being right with God. He wants us to say, well, just leave me alone. God, leave me alone. Preacher, leave me alone. Concerned family member or friend, leave me alone. And we've got to be very careful about that. It comes up in people's lives. And on the Let the Bible Speak program this morning, I want to talk about some areas of people's lives, things that come into their life where they are essentially saying, leave me alone to God. There's one area, friend, in our life where we don't want to be left alone, and that is with God. He wants to help us. He wants to be with us. He wants to save us. He wants us to be encouraged and make it through life. He wants us to have the information that we need from His Word to live properly. We don't need to be saying to God, leave me alone. It's okay to be alone in some of these situations that I've just mentioned, but we don't want that approach with God. And the devil doesn't want to be around God. And people who follow the devil don't want to be around God. And they say, in a sense, leave me alone. When Jesus would come and he would want to cast out an evil spirit or a demon out of a person, as he began to talk to the demon would say, leave us alone. We find that in Mark 1:24 and Luke 4:34. Leave us alone. Yeah, I guess so. They don't want Jesus casting them out. They want to continue to hurt people and harm people. They don't want good. They don't want truth. They don't want what is right. They want what is evil. So yes, leave us alone, Jesus. Job, in giving a description of the wicked, he says that the wicked say to God, leave us alone. And his friend Eliphaz basically said the same thing later in Job 22 and verse 17, describing the wicked man. You know, when we're not living right, we're definitely going to say to God, leave us alone. We don't want to live right. We don't want to live according to God's word. Job said, the wicked say unto God, leave us alone, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Yeah, we don't want God because we want to keep living the sinful life that we're living. And unfortunately, I'm afraid we're seeing that more and more in our nation. When we see policies being made that are contrary to God's word and will, we are saying to God, leave us alone. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. We don't want to read the Bible. We don't want other people to read the Bible. So let's take the Bible out of schools. Let's take the Bible out of any way possible. And now the devil is in mainline denominations where less and less Bible is being taught and more human opinion and wisdom is being taught on things involving homosexuality and abortion and the so-called transgender. And people who claim to be religious leaders are giving their human wisdom and opinions about things that are wrong rather than proclaiming God's word. So yes, leave us alone. We don't want a knowledge of your ways. So let's talk about this situation. What are some cases in people's lives that we find in Scripture where they are saying, leave us alone? Well, the first one that comes to my mind is in Exodus chapter 14, when God, through Moses, is bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he's gotten them out a little ways, and they still need to cross the Red Sea. And we come to this point in Exodus 14 where the Pharaoh's army is pressing in hard behind them, and the Red Sea, it hasn't been parted yet. It's in front of them. And the children of Israel begin to say this, Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto Jehovah. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Almost like a sarcastic type of questioning. They had already witnessed God's great power in the 10 plagues and already has brought them out part way. And to question like this is a shame. We could have died back in Egypt. Verse 12, is not this the word that we spake unto you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it were better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. Jehovah will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And of course, we know the rest of the chapter. That's exactly what happens. And God, using Moses, parts the Red Sea. They walk across on dry land. They get on the other side safe, and the Egyptian army is swallowed up in the water. But leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. Of course, back in earlier in the book of Exodus, they were complaining about the hard work that they had to do building those cities and making those bricks for the Egyptians. But now it's when times get a little tough, leave us alone. First of all, I think people today say leave us alone when they are living a worldly life. They're happy with their lifestyle, even though it may be a little hard. I want to go back to Egypt. I like the things that I was eating back there, and I like the life that I was having. Yes, I'll have to admit it was a little hard from time to time, but that's better than being out here in this dusty, dirty wilderness. They desire an easy way out. They're happy with their sinful lifestyle. They don't want to be in the presence of righteousness. They don't want to leave a worldly lifestyle like the Egyptians were in Egypt with all of the idolatry and worldliness that was there. Let's just go back there and live a settled life. I'm comfortable in my worldly life. Leave me alone. I'm fine with my sinful habits and my unscriptural marriage and bad words and all of the things that I'm doing. I'm okay with that. I'm cool with that. I'm fine. I'm good. We have that expression today. No, I'm good. I'm good. No, you're not right with God. And so a lot of times with regard to worldliness, somebody would say, well, you know, leave us alone. And that's like the demons that I mentioned earlier in Luke 4:34. Yeah, they're going to say, leave us alone. They're living their demonic life and they're hurting others and they don't want Jesus around. I'm good. Thank you, I'm good. And people don't want Jesus around. People don't want God around. They don't want the preacher around telling them how that they can have a better life in Christ. I'm good. I'll get back with you on that, preacher. I'm good. So the Israelites are saying, leave us alone. And had God done that, they would have perished. Is that really what you want to say, friend? Leave us alone? Is that really what you want to say? It makes us feel good now, but we're not facing what's coming down the road, the judgment of God. I think of others in the Bible who basically say, leave us alone. When Paul was on trial in the book of Acts and he was preaching to different individuals, these individuals are high Roman authorities and Jewish authorities. And we have these individuals that hear the word of God. They hear the Apostle Paul preach. And they basically say to him, well, you know, thanks, but no thanks. When Paul preached to the Roman governor Felix, he had an opportunity to hear the truth. He had an opportunity to obey the gospel. He had an opportunity to be right with God in the coming judgment day, but he basically said, nah, I'm good. Leave me alone. Paul reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, and Felix was terrified and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me. Sometimes people say, leave me alone, because they are afraid of change. They're happy with the status quo. They're too busy in their life to obey the gospel and make a change. They're afraid that God will require too much of them, or it will be a too drastic change for them. And so, when I have a convenient season, procrastination and putting it off, and then later when Paul preaches to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, Agrippa said, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. I'm just almost there. I'm not quite ready yet, Paul. Leave me alone. And there were others with him, Bernice and the governor and others, and they just stood up and walked off. So, that happens, and I'm afraid we're in a leave-me-alone mentality today. People out in the world don't want to obey the gospel and become Christians. And those who have become Christians and are now weak and unfaithful, they're saying, leave me alone. Don't come visit me. Don't try to encourage me to come back. Leave me alone. They may not be saying that with their mouth, but they're thinking that in their mind. We've got to avoid that, friends. There's one area of our life where we don't want to be left alone, and that's in our relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Another time in people's lives when I can think of that they're saying, leave us alone, comes from Revelation chapter 3. These are Christians in a local church in Laodicea in Asia Minor. And Jesus, through the pen of John, is writing a letter to them. They're lukewarm. They're lukewarm. They're not completely on fire for the Lord, and they're not completely cold and left out into the world, but they're just somewhere in between, just, we would say, keeping house. And it's because they were physically well off. They were saying, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing. And you know not that you are the wretched one and miserable and poor and blind and naked, spiritually speaking. I counsel thee to buy me of gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, in white garments, that you may clothe yourself spiritually, and that the shame of your nakedness or sin be not manifest, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. They were basically saying, I have need of nothing, verse 17. I'm fine. Leave me alone, Jesus. We're a church of Christ here in Asia Minor, and we're good. Yes, we're lukewarm, but we have everything we need physically. We're well off. We're keeping house. We're going through the motions. That should be good enough. Leave us alone, Jesus. We don't have need for you. Some people are self-sufficient, and that's why they say, leave me alone. They have this false sense of security that they're fine because all of their physical needs are taken care of. The problem is the material side of their life is their only concern. They're not thinking about their soul. Jesus said in Matthew 16, what does a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What profit is it if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And there's so many people today, they're well off physically and materially, and they're self-sufficient and self-secure and self-satisfied, but that's not what's going to save them in the judgment day. I hope that they repented. This church at Laodicea, Jesus calls upon them to repent in the next verse. I hope they did. But it's hard to get people out of self-sufficiency. It's hard to get people out of worldliness. It's hard to get people out of self-satisfaction where, well, I don't need to change. It's hard. It can be done, but you're going to have to think about your need for God in your life and in the life of your spouse and family and children. We have this isolationist mentality today, and I'm afraid that our technology is driving some of that. We don't need to talk to anybody anymore. We've got our phone, and we can walk by people, and we don't need to even look up. Just keep walking, looking at your phone. You don't need anybody. You got everything you need on your phone, right? Everything you need in life is right there on your phone. That's the thinking that so many people have. And so I'm good. And our technology is driving some of this isolationist approach to life. We used to talk to each other, and we used to get together and converse with each other and actually look at each other and talk to each other. But many people, especially the younger generations, are getting away from that. And as parents, we're at fault for allowing that, for causing that. We could tell our young people, put your phone down, but we won't do it as parents. And so they're just being raised on this, me and I'm connected through technology, but I'm not connected to a warm body. And so we're getting more and more of this leave me alone thing. We got to be very careful about that. We need God. We need Jesus Christ. We need to be saved from our sins. Let's look at another area of a person's life where someone would say, leave me alone. And that is that people are self-satisfied with their knowledge of things in life, and they don't want to learn anymore. They don't want to grow. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to be blinded by their prejudice and the way they've been taught their whole life, or the way that they've been raised, and they don't want to be challenged to hear anything new. They don't want anybody to challenge their preconceived information. They refuse to look at something new. They refuse to be challenged in their thinking. They refuse to ask questions about what they've been taught. They won't examine the evidence. I'm thinking about this with regard to Paul coming to Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. When he would preach in the synagogue about Jesus Christ, and he would prove he would prove that Jesus was the Christ from the scriptures. He reasoned, Acts 17, 2 and 3, and he proved and demonstrated that Jesus would suffer and rise again from the dead. And he did that through the scriptures, Old Testament scriptures that prophesied of that. And there were some Jews there that were close-minded. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to think about anything else. I'm good. And there was a time in which the Jew could be saved under the old law of Moses. But with the coming of Jesus Christ and the death on the cross, it is now salvation through Jesus Christ. And when Paul left Thessalonica and went on into Berea, Luke records that they were more noble, meaning fair-minded, thinking about what Paul was saying, than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed. It was the examination that led to the belief. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. But they were more noble, fair-minded, critical thinking is the idea there. They were willing to examine the evidence. Some are not. Don't show me that, preacher. I don't need to see that. I don't need to open my Bible and see that. I don't need to hear that from the Word of God. I'm good. And so people are blinded by ignorance and prejudice and preconceived notions, and they won't open their lives up to the truth. Well, I was raised in such and such denomination, and I don't need to hear anything else. If that was good enough for my parents and grandparents, it's good enough for me. And I've even had people tell me, I know the Bible says, but they're basically saying, leave me alone. And you can't force yourself on people. Paul left Thessalonica, and he went to find people who would hear the truth. He did that a lot. In fact, Jesus told his disciples to shake the dust off of your feet, move on to the next town, find people who will hear the truth. You can't sit there and try to cram the truth down somebody's throat if they don't want it. If somebody keeps telling you, leave me alone, you've got to move on. It's a shame. But Paul would move on, and he would find those who would believe. It's a sad state when people will not open themselves up to the truth. Look at the truth of the Word of God. Sometimes along this same lines, people are satisfied with their life. And in Acts chapter 13, when Paul was in Antioch and he was preaching, he preached in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and the next Sabbath almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the Word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things which were spoken by Paul and blasphemed. And Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be first spoken to you, seeing you thrust it from you. That's just another way of saying, I don't want it, leave me alone. And judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And they did, and there were those who believed. But this idea of we're self-satisfied, we don't need the truth, and we may not have the truth, or we may have less than the truth, but we're okay with that. Satisfied with religious traditions and doctrines. They won't question their own beliefs. And notice that there's also another element here. They saw the multitudes. These Jews were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things. They didn't want other people leaving their group to go to the truth. So leave us alone. We've got our own little group here. Paul, you need to leave us alone. We're satisfied with our little group. And we don't like to see people leaving our group and coming to the truth of the Word of God and obeying Jesus Christ. And they caused problems for Paul, and he ended up leaving. So, self-satisfaction can be a problem. Some people say, leave me alone, because they openly reject the Word of God. Some just openly refuse the Word of God. They refuse the teachers of the Word of God. In the first century, the apostles who were preaching and teaching the very Word of God would be rejected. They would leave the truth. In John 2, there were those who were anti-Christ. They were against Christ. This is not at the end of time that Antichrist has gotten so misused to be someone at the end of time. No, these are in John's day, toward the end of the first century. They are anti-Christ. They went out from us. They were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they be manifest that they are not of us. We don't want to have anything to do with Christ or the apostles. In 3 John, there was a Diotrephes who loved to have the preeminence, and he was speaking against the apostles, prating against us with wicked words, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and them that would he forbids and casts them out of the church. I'm the main guy. That's another reason why somebody would say, leave me alone. And then last of all, the cost is too high. When I think of Jesus telling the rich young ruler what he needed to do to come into the kingdom and have eternal life, go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And the text says that he walked away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The cost is too high, Jesus. Leave me alone. And he walked away by himself, not becoming a follower of Jesus, because he was happy and self-content with his little riches. Many do not want to give up for the Lord. Friends, if you want to be left alone, God will leave you alone. That's certainly true. Jesus said on one occasion to the Pharisees who didn't want the truth, he said, leave them alone. Matthew 15:14. If that's what you want, friend, God will allow you to have it. But I would encourage you, rather than saying, leave me alone, I would rather hear us all say, Lord, let us be together. Let us work together. I want to be saved by your word. I need your help. I want to follow your word. Friends, if I can help you to have that in your life, please contact us. Thank you for being with us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.